Hello and welcome once again to The Blueprint. It is Canada's Conservative Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Schmale, Member of Parliament for Halliburton, Kawartha, Lakes Brock. New content every single Tuesday. We appreciate your attendance here today. As usual, if you can't watch us all on this program on Facebook, you can download us later on and listen to us on platforms like CastBox, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, you name it. It's out there. Together, we can push back against the ever-moving Liberal agenda. Although we did take a week off last week during the Christmas holidays, between Christmas and New Year's, we are back. We have a great guest. We're going to talk about the airline industry and a few things that have happened since we took that break, especially on New Year's Eve, which I really want to focus on to start. So I'll bring in our guest, Stephanie Cusey. She's the Member of Parliament for Calgary-Mindapore. She's also the Shadow Minister for Transport. Good friend of the show. Thank you, Stephanie, for joining us.
Jamie, thank you so much for having me here today. I truly appreciate the opportunity to come here and talk to Conservatives from coast to coast to coast.
And those who are looking for a different message than the mainstream media, someone who might consider voting Conservative, and that's why we ask you to like, comment, subscribe, share this program. In this way, we can hopefully, and our goal is to form the next majority Conservative government here in the great country of Canada. Now, the airline industry, this is why I brought you on, Stephanie, because this is something that was, as an Ontarian, really frustrated me. So before Christmas, just to give you some background, Doug Ford talked about some measures he was taking to lock down the province after numbers started to surge. And we've seen similar surges in Manitoba and Alberta and Quebec and elsewhere. One of the issues he pointed out was how testing is not being done at our airports. Specifically, in this case, he's referring to was Pearson International Airport, which is one of the hubs. Calgary's a little different. We'll talk about that in just a second. Now, immediately after he said that, after he challenged the federal government to start bringing in rapid testing at our airport, something that the Conservatives federally have been calling for months, months and months and months, the blue checks on the Twitter mafia went ballistic, just went absolutely off the charts. We have some graphics here. I don't know if we can show them here of some of the Liberal MPs who were losing their minds. Some of our favorites are posted there. How this was just absolutely, how could Doug Ford say this? Then, and there's another one, another Ontarian. Then a few days later on New Year's Eve, sorry, Stephanie, you are here. I'm teeing this up nice for you. Then on New Year's Eve, after calling Conservatives obstructionist, and even you and Michelle Rempel-Garner and many of our other colleagues who have been calling for this for months were just pushed aside. Then on New Year's Eve, in comes news that, guess what? We're starting rapid testing on January 7th, and nobody can enter the country without a clear test. Otherwise, you're brought to a federal quarantine facility. Stephanie, I have talked too long. I've taken it from there. What is going on?
Not at all. Not at all, Jamie. I think you've set up the issue really nicely. I mean, I think there are two factors here, and you've touched on the first one. The first one is, frankly, the motivation behind this announcement and, this announcement and this new measure taken by the federal government. Why did it take them so long to come to this conclusion that this was a necessity for all Canadians entering the country? So I think Canadians are right to question the motivation of why now, why suddenly, when the official opposition has been calling on this for months and months and months. But I think more important and more critical at this date, January 5th, less than 48 hours before the expected implementation of this new measure, Jamie, is just the unrealistic expectation to implement this measure so quickly that has left airlines in a complete tizzy as to how they will implement it. And I will add, you know, this is a government that has given the airline sector no support up until this point. And you've heard me go on and on about this as the Shadow Minister for Transport. We have criticized repetitively the lack of support that this government has given the airline sector. And what have we seen as a result of that? Well, tens of thousands of jobs lost across the country to start. the loss of regional routes, communities actually completely isolated at this point with no in or out routes as a result of this government's inaction. And as well, before, right before the holiday season, Jamie, we saw the possibility of several air towers being closed across the country in major centers like Windsor and Regina as a result of this government's inaction. So this government has been completely absent in support of the airline sector for coming on 10 months now. And then now they have the audacity to ask the airline sector to implement this program in a matter of days with very little instruction. I will tell you, they were still working on the interim orders as late as last night. I've been in constant communication with aviation stakeholders. But guess who else this affects, Jamie? This affects thousands of Canadians that are abroad right now in a panic contacting our constituency offices because they don't know what to do. There's been very little guidance given as to the process up to this point. We know that it has to be 72 hours in advance. It's all Canadians over the age of 5, but it has to be from a named vendor on a list as provided by Global Affairs, and anyone has yet to see that list. So if I'm sitting in Puerto Vallarta right now, Jamie, with my family of 4, and I'm scheduled for a flight on January 8th, I'm at a loss for what to do. And I don't know what's going to happen when I show up at the airport, much less come to the port of entry. It's a complete chaos that was started by this government months and months ago as they abandoned the airline sector and continues now as they ask for rapid implementation with very little guidance and certainly no support, Jamie.
Now, it's my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, like the airline industry and others, but in this particular topic, we're talking about the airline industry, they had ideas months and months ago on how they could implement different measures to help keep travelers safe and the airline somewhat going, if you will, based on the fact that they are bleeding dollars every single day.
You are absolutely correct. Any airline, any of the major airlines are looking at a net loss of $20 million a day as a result of the government's inaction and lack of support and effort to help them. But more importantly, you are correct. The industry has invested incredible resources in trying to find alternatives and solutions for the traveling public. We look at tons of examples across the country. First, they did a pilot project in YYZ to look at those arriving internationally to see the rates of COVID upon arrival. Then WestJet implemented another pilot project at YVR. Following that, we saw the very well-known McMaster pilot, which compiled scientific evidence to see the numbers of Canadians arriving with COVID. So upon their evaluation of the data they collected, their data showed that it was about 1% of individuals arriving in Canada with the COVID virus. They took the testing process where they did a test upon arrival, results usually at day 2. They found out that 0.7 of that 1% showed positive at that time. At day 7, it was down to about 0.3. And at day 14, it was less than 0.1. And they actually even attribute that potentially to, I hate to say it, Jamie, but Canadians breaking quarantine. And so the point is that, you know, after 7 days, we are not seeing any information in the data that would show us that there was a necessity beyond a 7-day quarantine. But my points are, number one, you're absolutely correct. The industry has invested time and time again in these pilot projects. And you mentioned my hometown of Calgary, YYC, the Coots project here, implementation. And I'll get back to that in a moment. But we've seen incredible investment by this industry in an attempt to implement nationwide testing for individuals returning to Canada to gather data, but also to reduce quarantine. Now, the next question is then, this is being implemented here at YYC with a lot of success. Why? Why can't the government just take this one project here in Alberta and replicate it all across the country? We've done it successfully here in Alberta. Why can't we implement this at YYZ? Why can't we implement this at YVR instead of counting on thousands of other third-party vendors internationally which we have raised many questions as the official opposition, will take a lot of time to determine the certainty, the efficacy, the time. I know many Canadians abroad are worried as they've seen certain third-party vendors jack up their prices as this information becomes available that this requirement is going into place. Jamie, it would have been far simpler to have rolled out nationwide rapid testing at our airports, like we've done at home here in Alberta, with the 14-day, and I would say, I would go so far as to say even reduced to a 7-day quarantine, rather than go through this international rigmarole. I was actually thinking this morning, Jamie, that I'm so grateful I'm still not a management consular officer in the Foreign Service today, where I am in any country abroad scrambling to determine vendors, to determine credible vendors, to determine cost-affordable credible vendors in an effort to get Canadians back to Canada. I'm glad I'm not in that position, but the government has approached this completely wrong and industry agrees.
So this is one quote that came from the Prime Minister when the opposition was calling for stricter measures at the border. This is a quote. There is a lot of knee-jerk reaction that isn't keeping people safe. That is having real challenging impacts on communities, on community safety. Now, challenge that to the tweet that came out next after the government announced the measures on January 7th with rapid testing and the requirement of a COVID negative test. Now he is saying this is something that we need to move forward on to protect Canadians. That about face, apparently testing is horrible until the Liberals decide it's an okay thing to do. Something that we've all in the opposition bench has been calling for, that we've seen in other countries, and start to somehow bring some of their economy back as safely as possible.
Yeah, and you mentioned it at the start of the show, Jamie, and that is that we do have to question the political motivation. Why this measure? Why now? You're absolutely correct. But having said that, the Liberals are experts in creating chaos. I think we've seen this time and time again. We look at the measures that were implemented initially at the beginning of this crisis. They wanted to have uninfringed spending limits in an effort to implement their programs. We as the Conservative opposition held them to account to not have this. They actually made several errors in their legislation, which forced us to return to the House to correct those measures. I mean, I even look at something like an issue that's very important in my backyard, Jamie, the Trans Mountain pipeline there. They're talking out of both sides of their mouth. They're saying, we want to do this, yet we don't see any shovels in the grounds in terms of really any true motivation to move this project forward. So it's the same thing here. It's a reactive decision. And what does it do? It forces Canadians to have to respond to that. And public servants. I have a lot of sympathy for the public servants that continuously have to respond to the whims of this government, and specifically at the transport and public health agencies at this time. But Liberals do this constantly. They make reactive decisions that create chaos for Canadians.
Or they take too long to make them because they'd rather study it. So they're at one point telling people, you must quarantine. But yet we're going to study the decision on whether or not to implement rapid tests. Well, if it's so imperative that we quarantine, the rapid test should be a no-brainer, you would think. Clearly not. So what's in store for the airline industry? How are they going to recover from the pandemic? We could also expand it to all the travel industry, but that's a little difficult and probably a longer conversation. But for the airline industries that is bleeding money right now, what they're looking forward to the vaccine, I'm assuming, the rapid testing, hopefully it gets expanded. What else are they saying?
No, that's a very good point. They have been suffering for several months now, as I've mentioned previous times, as a result of the inaction of this government. I think most importantly, Jamie, they are looking to get through the next 72 hours as this government determines its final interim orders for implementation. I have said this as a former consular officer. I've had talks with our foreign affairs shadow minister, Michael Chong. I foresee a consular nightmare like we have not seen since the beginning of this pandemic. So I really think the airlines right now are focused on getting through the next month until these orders are recognized and they've had some time to adapt to that. beyond that, you are correct. They are looking forward to the vaccine as the public gets more comfortable with traveling. And I know certainly the major, some of the major carriers such as Air Canada, WestJet, they have done their best to adapt to this time. I've said this time and time again, there's been very little guidance from the federal government. They came out with one health and safety document back in August called Flight Plan, but really we haven't seen any direction since that time. It's more interesting, actually. It's the smaller carriers, for example, such as Porter, Central, Mountain Air that I talked to, that really decided, hey, we're just going to sit back and wait for the vaccine to arrive and to be distributed throughout the communities. So I think they are definitely looking forward to the vaccine, but you know, every month is a matter of life or death for this industry. And you touched upon the travel industry, and certainly we do see the ripple effect throughout the entire industry. So you are correct in assessing that it does go beyond the airlines. But I think that for the airlines, it'll just be a continuing sort of holding on by the skin of their teeth until the market returns as a result of the vaccine and Canadians become increasingly comfortable with air traffic. Because I think this government has shown, when every other nation in the G7 and the G20 has received some form of support from their government, and this one is not, in month 10, I don't think they can count on it. And I don't blame them.
Well, Stephanie, I don't even know how to ask you for a closing comment on that, because that kind of says it for itself. Did you want to add anything else before I let you go?
I would just like to commend the airline industry. I mean, this is the industry that brought Canadians back when they were stranded all around the world, left to rot by the government for the following 8 months. And now we're being told to pick up their bootstraps again to implement this new process to bring all the Canadians back who have had the necessity or the means to travel externally. And why, Jamie, does this always fall upon industry and Canadians, especially when the problems are government made? And in this case, they certainly were, and they aren't providing the solutions.
And don't forget, I want to reiterate, you mentioned it earlier, we as the opposition has been calling for Health Canada to ramp up their efforts to approve a wide variety of rapid testing for Canadians so that we are able to safely and responsibly reopen our economies. And this is something that has been at a snail's pace, it feels like, when many other countries, and I've said it many times on this program, have approved rapid testing in various forms, a lot of it in the European Union, which many would say is the gold standard, the United States, and slowly Canada is getting there, but it is taking forever.
A snail's pace is generous, Jamie.
Well, that is perfect. Well done, Stephanie Cousy, the Shadow Minister for Transport, also the Member of Parliament for Calgary Mindapour. We always appreciate her participation on the show. I know you've been on many times before. We hope to have you on many times again as this situation unrolls and unravels, and we do appreciate your input. That as a critic, but also as a former diplomat, you certainly give us a lot of knowledge outside of that. So we appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me, Jamie. It's always great to be here. This is a great podcast. You're a great host. I'd love to be back anytime.
Well, with compliments like that, you can come back next week. So remember, new content each and every Tuesday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Please comment, like, subscribe, share this program. Help us push back against the ever-moving liberal agenda. And also reach members of your network, your friends, maybe a neighbor that might not have access to this program. Maybe they might hear a different message, something they're not hearing on the mainstream media, and like the conservative message. And together with that, we can help move toward making Erin O'Toole the next Prime Minister of Canada. So thank you very much for joining us. Remember, low taxes, less government. That's the blueprint. Thanks for joining us.